Well, Luke 2, look here. I wanted to look at the record here of the birth of our Lord and Savior. But I want to think about it in what has been promised. When the baby Jesus was born, God saved the world. He had been promising this, that the Messiah was coming, and there was a purpose for it all. And it is precisely done. I mean, we've gone through the record many, many times throughout the years, but I mean, every single word came to pass that God had said, every promise over hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, actually, some of it. But the point is, this was for the salvation of the whole world. The whole world. See? And in chapter 2 and verse, we'll start here in verse 10. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not," talking to the shepherds, "for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It's going to be to all people. This message of the coming birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's not just to a few. This is really a message that will bless all, the whole world. I mean, if they listen, if they want to know, if they, you know, but they got to hear it first. You got to tell them, number one, the people that you know. But it was for all people. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Messiah, the Lord." Christ the Lord. And he says to them, he says, "And it shall be a sign unto you that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." On earth peace. You know what? The peace that you and I think about, like, you know, no war and everything's nice, that didn't happen on that day, and it hasn't happened since. The peace that is talked about here is a peace that is coming. Future peace, one that's been paid for. And it was paid for again with this birth and with his death. And it will happen. But not right now. Go to Psalm here, Psalm 76. See, this came, he was born in the city of David, but this was for all mankind. This birth, you know, the whole world can celebrate it. I think as the years go by, it seems in my lifetime that it's celebrated less and less as the birth of our Savior. People have just, you know, they don't like thinking about God. It's too heavy for them, you know. They like thinking about other stuff, you know. And you can just have a conversation with anybody and everybody. Like, I was watching TV last night, and it was all about how the earth is going to end. It was a Science Channel thing, and it was like, well, how's the earth going to end? And they were talking about the prophecies in the Bible. They were talking about nuclear war. They got on every subject that was possible. And I'm thinking to myself, here it is. I'd watched the movie that thing last night, and then I saw Bruce Willis on the asteroid because the earth was going to end. And then I saw, you know, and this is a real theme. You know, it's a real theme on major motion pictures and this. It's the, somebody's got to save the earth. And they missed the Lord Jesus Christ. the one that really did it, and the peace that will happen one day. In Psalm 67, verse 1, says, God is merciful unto us and bless us. Be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. It's for all, again, God's point of view was not just the nation of Israel. It was all the nations of the earth. That message, that child, that birth was for everyone. Isaiah 49. Look at verse 4. Then I said, I have labored in vain. This is Isaiah speaking. You know, I mean, he's done this his whole life. God told him at the beginning, you're going to do this for me. You're going to speak. You're going to go to the people, and nobody's going to believe you. Imagine getting this job. I mean, just imagine it. Nobody's going to ever believe you, what you say in your lifetime. But you know what? You and I are reading this. We believe it. And this is what the Lord said to him. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing, naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. He's the one that's going to judge it. And it was for him. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious, in thy eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he saith, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the perverse, the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. God says to him, you know what he says? It's all for kind of nothing. God says, no. You're my glory. And I've sent you, and I'm going to get glorified, and even to the ends of the earth with the Gentiles. I mean, Isaiah, what he did was he spoke far beyond his generation. Far beyond everything. Thousands of years later, I assume it's thousands since Isaiah lived, we are reading his words, and God has opened up people's understanding to hear them and to praise the Lord. So this was always about all of them. Go to Isaiah 52. You remember the promise and the covenant that God made with Abraham, right? And the Abrahamic covenant, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, verse 10. Let's start. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Every corner of the earth is going to see it. You know, everybody wants to destroy the earth and the people on it. You know, you got your doomsday guys, and you got your, you know, this, whatever, whether it be asteroids or atomic bombs or, you know, they all want to get rid of everything. It's all for nothing. I mean, it's all for nothing. We're all going to die. Don't worry about it. Don't even try. That's basically the message of the program that I saw last night. Don't worry about nothing. God, I have sent my son. This is a message of great joy. The salvation of the Lord is going to come to every corner of the earth. And there's certainly going to be a whole lot of tribulation and trouble and stuff will happen and everything. But you can't take your eyes off of what God has promised, what he has patiently provided, and it's coming to pass. And God's going to get what he wants. Obviously not. And then, let's go to, this. I mean, every single thing is going to happen that happens. But keep in mind, when you think about this time of year, when people talk to you, that's what this child's birth is about. He's coming to pay the price for all mankind. He's coming to do the job. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. It says, and they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's worthy, and it was his sacrifice that won every single person, every language, every kindred, all mankind, back to God. All they have to do is accept the Lord. Believe the gospel, the good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 20, it says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have been purchased back, literally. You know, like I go to the store and I buy something. I purchased it. I now own it. We've been bought with a price. The price was high. It was the life of our Lord and Savior. So glorify him in your body. Live your life for him. Chapter 7, verse 23. Again, he says, for you have been bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. That payment was expensive. You know, when the children of Israel came, all men have to be redeemed. Paid for. And God showed us this very much when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Remember, he brought them out with great miracles. They crossed over the Red Sea. It was all of this glorious. I mean, the Egyptians threw money at them go ahead, leave. They spoiled the land of Egypt. And God got them on the other side. He says, now, every single one of you men got to give me a half a shekel of silver as payment for what I did for you, to your redemption. You got to pay. And you know what he did with the silver? You weigh the silver together. It's made for the foundation. It's the foundation and the sockets that made up the tent of the tabernacle. The foundation of everything is our redemption. It's not free. It has to be paid for. And Jesus Christ paid the price. He is the foundation stone upon which everything else is built. But it had to be paid. Second Peter. In Second Peter, in chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people. Talking about among the believers. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. They're going to privily bring in damnable heresies. What are these things going to be? Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. In the church, and depending upon, I don't know, there are churches out there, you know, they deny the Lord. They deny what he did. They deny him. It's been out there for years. It continues. It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. You read the history of the Christian church. People get so whacked out. You know, what the heck is this thing about? Love. God wants you to love him, and he wants to love you. That's really the big message of the Bible. And then, you know, tells you what sin is and what it ain't. If you really want to love him, you realize you've been bought with a price and you glorify him with your body. You live for him. In, let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know, the ministers, the God's people are to feed God. He's purchased it. You feed him. You know, this is his church, and he's put others in charge of it to feed God's people, to help them. But he's the one that paid. No, I didn't pay nothing. I was the one he paid for me. He paid for every single bishop out there, every single church leader. We're all in the same boat. They're supposed to steward and take care of and bless and love and feed the rest. That's their job. But they're not that important. They were just as much paid for as everybody else. They just have a responsibility. Feed the church. Romans chapter 5. All of this is because of sin. And Romans chapter 5 really lays it out beautiful. And to tell you the truth, I'd like to read it out of this version here. If you just follow me along, follow along with me. Romans is a very legal book. It's like it's got a tremendous amount of judicial terms in it, legal terms. It's a book that says you've been legally justified, paid for, and this is the reason why. And most folks don't even think about it that way. I mean, I did a couple of funerals as time has gone by, and the reason that we have people who die is because of sin that entered the world. It's not what God wanted to begin with. You know, the reason that it had to be paid for with the blood of Christ was so that we could be raised again and receive eternal life, which is what God really wanted all at the beginning. So it says here in verse 10, Romans chapter 5, it says, and I'm going to read this in the New English Bible because it puts these terms very beautifully together. It says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? But at that is not all. We also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now been granted reconciliation." We exalt in him because we've been granted reconciliation. Mark what follows. In King James, it says, therefore. And when you read the word therefore, it's why for. The therefore is really a why for. Why was this necessary? You know, that it had to go this way? Mark what follows. That's what this one says. "It was through one man that sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And thus death prevailed on the whole human race, insomuch as all men have sinned. For sin was already in the world before there was a law, though it be absent of law, no reckoning is kept of sin. But death held sway from Adam to Moses, even over those that had not sinned as Adam did, by disobeying a direct command. And Adam foreshadowed the man who was to come. But God's act of grace is out of all proportion to Adam's wrongdoing. For if the wrongdoing of that one man brought death upon so many, its effect is vastly exceeded by the grace of God and the gift that came to so many by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. And again, the gift of God is not to be compared in its effect with that one man's sin. For the judicial action following upon the one offense issued in a verdict of condemnation, but the act of grace following upon so many misdeeds issued in a verdict of acquittal. For if by the wrongdoing of that one man death established its reign through a single sinner, much more shall those who receive it far greater measure God's grace and his gift of righteousness shall live and reign through the one man, Jesus Christ. One sin, at the very beginning, death came upon all men. Now, since that time, all men have been sinning like troopers. God sent his son, that one man, the second Adam, the second son of God, because God, Adam was God's son, that he sent him. And his one righteous act acquitted all mankind of all their sins. One man infected all mankind and they died and sinned like troopers. But God's gift and his grace is out of all proportion. For all the millions that have lived and sinned, Jesus died once, paid the price for all. That's good news. That's peace. That's what these angels were talking about on that day. When he says, you're going to find in Bethlehem a child, Christ the Lord. That's quite a message of hope and peace. And it had to be done. You know, I often wondered throughout the years, why? He explains it to you there. You either believe it or you don't. That one treacherous act of Adam, God's son, that I call it treason. Disobedience killed all of his prodigy, everyone that comes after. But God saved all of them that believe and accept the Lord by the one gracious act of his son, giving his life for them all and paying for them. That's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning. So, Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for that tremendous deliverance, my God. And I praise you, Lord, for what you have done. And I praise and thank my Lord Jesus Christ for his obedience and his love and his just taking care of business, my God, for us all and sacrificing himself. We love you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. And we're just so grateful, Father, that in a wonderful way that people really do celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior this month. And I thank you, God, that we can really magnify that message to the people that we know and that we love so that they can appreciate and praise you for what you have done. So, Lord, I give you this thing. I thank you for blessing all of our lives and all of the lives of the people that we love and the people that aren't here. I ask you to bless the food that we're about to enjoy. I thank you for the time that we have together. I thank you for your love surrounding all of your people everywhere. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless.